Amen. Please be seated. Hey, men out there, let's join Dan up in the choir sometime soon. You all sounded wonderful up there, but we're leaving Dan on his own. We need to get some men's voices up there, and I know Dan would love to have you as a part of it.
Half of our men's section is sick
today. Yes. Well, if you would join me in the Gospel of John, we are continuing our journey there, the life and ministry of Jesus, the one who is the very revelation of God. Last week, we talked about the fact that when we are followers of Jesus, it at times places us at odds with the world around us. But we're reminded today, as Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit, that each of us has been given the resource that we need by the Holy Spirit who resides within us. Join me now in John 16. We're going to be looking today at verses 5 through 15. This is Jesus teaching. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for our chance to be together in worship today. We acknowledge your presence here with us. We have come at your invitation. What a joy it is to be known and loved by you and invited into your presence. And today, as we focus upon the Holy Spirit, we acknowledge as well your Spirit living within us, transforming each of us. And so in these next few minutes, as we gaze into your word, please give us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in verses 5 to 7, Jesus explains why he's waited until now to speak about persecution. The short answer, the simple answer, is because he has been with them up until now. He knew that he could protect them from this during the time that he was here on earth, but he is preparing to leave, and that's what prompts the conversation about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus seems disappointed that none of them have asked, "Where are you going?" And this is a little confusing because in chapter 13, verse 36, and in chapter 14, verse 5, they have asked Jesus where he's going. But he uses this question to refocus them in this moment. And he says, it is for your good that I'm going away. Only when Jesus leaves does the gift of the Holy Spirit arrive. Jesus goes on to highlight three roles the Spirit will fill once the Spirit arrives. And I want us to spend just a few minutes today talking about these three roles, because these are the same three roles that the Spirit lives out in each of our lives today as well. First and foremost, the Spirit will convict. We see that in verses 8 through 11. The Spirit will convict. Jesus says, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Greek word there is elenko, and elenko means to convict, to expose sin and its guilt. This word, elenko, is used 18 times in the New Testament, and it always refers to revealing someone's sin. The tables have turned. Up until now, it is Jesus who has been on trial during his earthly ministry, but from now on, he says, it will be the world on trial. These are the three ways that the Spirit will convict. In verse 9, the Spirit will convict about sin. Jesus says very simply, because people do not believe in me. He's speaking of the sin of unbelief, a refusal to believe in Jesus, a willful rejection of who he is. In John chapter 3, verse 18, we read, whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And so the Spirit convicts the world with regard to sin. Secondly, the Spirit convicts about righteousness. We see that in verse 10. Jesus says, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. Jesus has set a new standard with regard to righteousness. He has now become the measuring rod that everyone else is measured against. And because he has completed that work, he is now returning to his Father. Thirdly, the Spirit will convict about judgment, we're told in verse 11. Because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The world will think that the cross pronounces a final judgment on Jesus, and yet the cross actually condemns Satan once and for all. Satan, referred to here as the prince of this world, he has been convicted with his sentence still to come. And so, first of all, the Spirit will convict. Secondly, the Spirit will guide. We see this in verses 12 and 13. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus is making all kinds of promises about the value of the Spirit in chapters 14 through 16, and this is the fifth of those promises, that the Spirit will be our guide. Jesus says that he has more to say to his disciples than they can currently bear, and the Spirit will help in this. That's kind of remarkable to think about. He has more that he wants to share with them, but he knows for a fact that in their current emotional state, in the current developmental state of their faith, they're not ready for everything, but it's okay because the Spirit will take over from there and continue their education. The Spirit will bring that truth to all believers when we are ready to hear and use that truth. What amazing news. But remember, the Spirit will not bring truth beyond what Jesus has taught. And the Spirit will not bring truth that is in conflict with what Jesus has taught. The Spirit's ministry is built on the foundation of Jesus and his ministry. We shouldn't miss that Jesus has called himself the truth. The Spirit will guide us always into the truth, always into Jesus. And so the Spirit will convict, the Spirit will guide, and finally, the Spirit will glorify. Jesus says, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All of the Spirit's work in and through us always brings glory to Jesus. Jesus also mentions that it brings glory to God the Father, a bit of a nod toward the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit in this place. And I think maybe the most amazing part comes last in our passage. Take a look at verse 15. Jesus says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said that the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. You see it? God is always revealing himself. If this Christian faith of ours was just an empty exercise, or it was just a human-based religion, there would be a set of facts that we would learn about God, and that would be the end of our Christian education. At some point, we'd be able to say that we had mastered this faith. We're done with this faith. We can move on to something else. But that is not the case with our Christian faith. We are told that God is always revealing himself, continuously revealing more about his glory, more about what he desires for us in our lives. And what it requires of us is the type of surrender that Richard Rohr talked about just a few moments ago. With the Holy Spirit inside of us, and with us being willing to set aside our ego and surrender to what the Spirit wants to do, we have begun a lifelong journey of growth and faith. Every single day of our lives can bring a new understanding of the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the depth of God's love, and we can view the rest of our lives as that kind of adventure, with that kind of opportunity. What joy we should find in knowing that this journey will go deeper and deeper until we finally see our God face to face. Jesus says the Spirit will lead us to truth, and we know that Jesus is the truth. May each of us glory in that opportunity, and let the Spirit have his way as he brings us closer and closer to our God. Amen? Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit is so good that it's practically beyond our comprehension. This idea that having your Holy Spirit inside of us is even better than having you beside us is mind-blowing for us. And yet, as Christians, we often know the least about the Holy Spirit than we do about Father and Son. Help us as your followers to lean into what you promise in today's passage. Help us never to take for granted this transforming work that your Holy Spirit is doing inside each of us. Help us when we need to set aside our egos. Help us not to see surrender as something negative, as a losing for us, because when we surrender, when we invite your Spirit to have his way within us, we step into the fullness of the gift that you've given each of us in knowing you. Lord God, we love you, and we thank you that you will never leave us and never forsake us. And we thank you that this journey of faith that each of us is on will lead us each day of our lives closer to you until we finally see you face to face. Help us to surrender and stay in step with that transformative process with them. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.